So the title of today's message is, Do You Believe? Yes. Jesus has been asking that for a long time. He's asked it many ways. There were times when he said, O ye of little faith. But I mean, it still could come back and be said, Do you believe? And the other morning as I was going through things, this verse just jumped out at me. And it's in John 16:31. You don't have to go there. But it's a short little verse. Jesus answered them and said, Do you believe? And in it, just the verses before, he was talking to them and he was going back and speaking in parables. And they were getting confused and they said, well, you know, we're having a hard time understanding this, the disciples, and they're saying, you know, but we understand when you talk plainly, when you talk straight with us. And right after they said that, he asks them this question, but do you believe? Of course, the but was mine, but that question still goes forth. And I know the song that we sang this morning, He's given us so much, but it's up to us to step into it. It's up to us to believe. And I believe as we go forward in the days to come, things might not necessarily look well, but they'll be okay if we can come to the place in faith where it doesn't matter. Circumstances no longer can rule our life. We have to get to a place where we're established enough in faith that it doesn't matter what we see, what we hear, what we feel, we know that God honors faith, right? He said that we can speak to mountains to move and to be cast into the sea if we believe. So I want you to turn, actually I just quoted it, that verse was Matthew 17:20, and I'll read it for you. I am reading from the New King James. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a seed of, or as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then in Hebrews 6:11, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We, and I am in this with you all, we say we believe, but we as a body, as the bride of Christ, we are not walking where we need to walk if we can just be real with one another. Jesus is our example. Jesus met needs. He didn't walk around with a wad of cash. He didn't carry around a supply house with him. But wherever he went, he was more than able to meet any need at any time. Why? Because he walked in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, there is no limit. But the only way we can get there is through faith. Now, one of the things that happens is we do have a fight. Understand that. It's not that God makes everything easy for that. As a matter of fact, if you read Acts 14:22, it ends with saying that we enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. We have an adversary that we have to resist. And I know this was something that the Lord brought to me, and it was such a revelation. How many of you think we fight the devil? We're never called to fight him. We are called to one thing, and that's the fight of faith. We're to resist him. We are not to fight him. That is not our fight. That's his fight. Mm-hmm. And he won it at Calvary. It's done. It is finished. It's a complete work. I know in the book of Joseph, I would encourage you all, there is a book that's titled God Meant It for Good by R.T. Kendall. It is a book that has encouraged me so many times and has touched my life so deeply, probably only second to the Bible. I mean, it's just so rich. And in that, he begins to show how the foreshadows of Christ in things to come. And when Joseph would cry when his brothers came to him towards the end of the story, he would remove himself and he would weep. R.T. Kendall goes on to say that he believes Christ still does that with us today. As parents, as you know, when you have loved ones and people you care about, you hurt when they hurt. It bothers you. You don't want to see them suffer. You don't want to see them go through pain. You don't want to have to see them hurt. And imagine how much more so if you literally laid everything out for them. Here's the credit card. Here's the keys to the car. Here's the insurance policy for, and I'm kind of mocking, but whatever you need, it's all here. And when we get in a situation where we're hurting, I believe, as he explains in the book, Jesus still stops and has to withdraw himself for just a moment. And he weeps. He cares. But more than that, he knows you're hurting and you're suffering. And he says, but it's here. It's right here. You don't have to do this. Please take it. I paid such a high price for it. Everything you need is here. Come. It's free. Every promise in the Bible, it's for us. But we have to take it. And actually, there is a, I don't know if I have that, but where it talks about the kingdom of God and it suffers violence and the violent take it by force. We need a radical faith that will stand up and resist the enemy when he comes and he tells us things. Actually, in that same book, and I'm going to borrow from it again, Wrong Conclusions. The enemy loves to get us to look at facts and circumstances and draw a wrong conclusion. And if you look in Genesis 37:31, we're at the place in the story of Joseph where the brothers had sold him into slavery and Joseph's gone. And what they did is they didn't, they wanted to cover up their sin. They didn't want dad to know. So they took Joseph's coat of many colors and they dipped it in blood and they just bring it back. And what's interesting is they just bring it into dad and they just show him the coat. They never told him one thing. They didn't say Joseph was killed. They didn't say Joseph was hurt. They didn't say anything. Jacob came to his own conclusion. A wild beast devoured him. The enemy does the same thing to us today. The enemy will come and present your circumstances and their fact. It's matter of fact. It's true. It's where you are right now. But he comes and he just presents the facts and we will draw our own conclusions. Look, you're at the same place you've been for years. Nothing's changed. I guess nothing ever will. But that is not what God said. God gave us promises. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to stand and resist the enemy until we receive. How long? I know me and Reese have been talking about this. How long? As long as it takes. Stand. I'm standing. How long? He just says, stand. You don't quit. You don't give up. You stand. And you believe. Do we really believe? The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. He doesn't get shook up and rattled when we blow it, when we mess up, when we lose all hope. He knows. Every way that you've been tempted, you ever will be tempted, every difficulty you've ever faced, the Word of God tells us that he's been tried in like manner. He's been there. And he understands exactly what it is to be there. And so he's not angry. And he turns to his Father. And thank God he's ever interceding. And he says, Dad, I remember when I was in a situation similar. And God, if it wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't have made it. And Lord, I'm asking you to look at my blood right now and then look at them. God, we'll finish this, Father. We will finish the work that we've began in them. And he will. Ultimately, and I don't want to get into a big argument, but in the book, he makes a tremendous case for once saved, always saved, or predestination, or whatever you wanna call it. But when you're in a covenant with him, he doesn't let go. And when you get to those places where you're at rock bottom and you can't go on, he won't let go. He who started the good work in you, he will finish it. Thank God it is not about my ability to believe, my ability to be good, my ability for anything, because I would fail it and fail it miserably. He's my righteousness. He's my hope. And he is the one who will finish the work that he has started in me. I want to show you something. Where is that? I think it's in Mark. Here it is. So if you look in Mark 4, 24 through 29. Here's kind of the story here that is being shared, but I want to focus on verses 26 and 27. But at home, you should read all of these and go back over them. I know the Lord will show you some more truth. But 26 and 27, and I'll read them. And again, this is from the New King James. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how." The Lord gave me this revelation of this scripture, at least it was for me anyways, a few years ago. This is how the kingdom operates. I know what the results are, so to speak. I know that I can believe for the promises. I know I can believe for healing. I know I can have wealth and provision. It's in there. God doesn't want us to be poor. He wants us to have enough to give to every good work. All these things, right? But, so my job is a faith. I don't understand the how. I can't even ask the why. Why does it take so long? Lord, why is it sometimes you show up and it's miraculous? And Lord, why is it sometimes I have to stand in what seems like to be a forever long battle? It's horrible feeling to walk by faith. It's not pleasant. It's not enjoyable. But the Bible tells us it pleases him and it produces patience. He likes to see our faith worked. This is what causes our faith to grow. It's exercising our faith. But it is not enjoyable. How many of you would much rather you be able to just have it all there? We all do. Whatever you need, have it in the bank. Whatever your health is, let's just not deal with getting sick and believing God. You know, why can't we just have it? We are in preparation for what God has, and we don't know what that is. I don't think anybody really knows what heaven's going to be like. We have our preconceived ideas. Is there ministry in heaven? What's going to go on? He doesn't tell us all the details. All he asks is us to trust him. I've been walking through some really difficult circumstances. And all the Lord tells me, trust me. How many have been there? Trust me. And I don't know about you, but I'm just going to be real honest here. God, I trust you. I give it all to you. And in the same day, I can't even count how many times I pick it back up. The enemy will come and say, nothing's changed. Same old's going on. And the Lord comes back and he says, trust me. And you start all over again. And then the enemy can come and say, you're blown it again. How many times? And bring in self-condemnation. And again, you go back to the Word, and the Word says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's important to know your Word. It's more important that we have to apply it. I believe as the days grow darker, and I am not predicting doom and gloom, God could do anything. God could turn things around. Instantly, a nation could be saved in a day. He's done it before, and I know there was a song we used to sing, and he'll do it again. He loves us. Don't you quit on you. Don't you give up. God is not through. Yes, he asks us to believe, but we also have someone on the throne at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for you and me. And he loves us so much that he died for you. And it doesn't matter if you get at a place in your day when you lose all hope and you don't believe. The minute you catch yourself, you don't let the enemy tell you you've blown it and you can't go back. You get back up and you stand on the word. And you say, no, he who started the good work in me, he'll finish it. So I don't know where you are now or what you've been going through, but I know things are hard out there. Jobs are scarce, times are hard, and it doesn't look too good out there. But if you have him, you have hope. Your future's bright. God has a purpose and a plan for you, and it's not over. And don't let the enemy come and show you your circumstances and let you draw a wrong conclusion. Because I am telling you, he who started the good work in you, he will finish it. Today, I just want to leave you with this one question. Do you believe? I want to do you a favor this morning. I want to remove you completely out of the picture. And I know the Bible says to work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. And I'm not, I know that's there, and I believe this is part of that. I want to remove you out of the picture. Two reasons. You're going to fail. I promise you, as sure as there's a sun outside, you will fail. And you're going to blow it. And so if you have to count on your ability to believe and in your own works, you're not going to make it. But I have good news. He who started that good work in you, he'll finish it. Can you believe that he'll keep that word? And yes, he's going to ask you to believe. He's going to ask you to stand. But don't put your faith in your abilities anymore. Religion comes along and it wants us to work out our salvation. It wants us to put our trust in our abilities. It's a human nature. It's who we are. We have a hard time grasping a God who loves us so much that for no reason just gave everything for us. But it makes it easier to understand if we earn it. We can't earn this. You're going to blow it. It's okay. When you do, the Holy Spirit inside of you will tug at your heart, and he's going to tell you, pick it back up. Trust me. And there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when the enemy comes and tries to get you to say, you know what, you've blown it, there's no hope, you remember that. And you pick back up and you say, you know what, Lord, I choose to believe that you, Lord, who started the good work in me, you will finish it. And Lord, I'm going to follow you to the best of my abilities, but you know I'm going to fail. You know I'm going to make mistakes. but you've covered all that too. I can run and plead the blood over every mistake, over every failure, and he's faithful to answer. Amen. So I hope that brings you some hope, because there ain't much around right now, but we have a tremendous hope in him. As we, actually, yes, Lord. A dear friend of mine was sharing with me, and he was asking the Lord about abiding. And he was talking to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I don't understand what abiding is. Is it spending more time with you? Is it being quiet with you? Is it praying with you? Could you explain abiding to me? It's just another word that we, you know, have so many scriptures that are similar. Waiting upon the Lord, spending time with him, loving him. And he shared with me, he felt like the Holy Spirit told him this. And it bore witness with my spirit, and I want to share it with you. The Holy Spirit told him, he said, that abiding is when we come to a place where we have matured enough and we're entrusted with sonship. Because understand this, Casey and Sammy, and I'm going to use them for examples because they're here, they're Reese's sons. That doesn't change. But there are things that Reese and the law of the land, thank God, won't let them have until it's time. Many kids want to drive before they're 16, but the law of the land says no. And obviously the law of the land must be there because a lot of parents didn't walk in a lot of wisdom, I guess. But there's things that we're just not ready to handle. You have to grow up enough to handle things. A car can be the greatest blessing in your life. It can also become a deadly weapon if you misuse it. Are you mature enough to handle it? Anyway, so the Lord told him, he said, abiding is when you finally get to the place, because when we're infants, when we're young, it's all, we look up, me, 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 Lord, this, help, this, me, 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 me. Abiding was getting to the place where we can actually turn our backs, because we know Dad's there. I don't need to look at him anymore. And now he can just begin to tell me things, and I can do and say what I hear and see my father do. And I get to be a participator in what's going on at the throne. It's pretty awesome. The kingdom of God, the Bible says it doesn't come with observation. And I know I used to have a minister friend, and when I was a men's pastor at a church, and he was the assistant pastor, and he would, I don't know how many times he told me this, Tim, the kingdom of God is within you. Come out. I didn't know what to do with that. I know that my Savior, he walked in the kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God. He lived the kingdom. His example is, I only do and say what I see my Father do and what I hear him say. he had got to a place where they were so close, he could honestly tell people, if you've seen me, you've already seen him. There's a world out there. They need to see him. We can't preach anymore. I know. So I was in a horrible situation a while back, and I went to a church, didn't know where else to go, looking for help. And all they could do was they prayed for me, said a prayer with me, and didn't really offer me much hope, much anything. Just said, go to church. And I know when I left, and I believe God worked that out in that situation, it was for me. God didn't want me to get an answer any other way. It was time for me to go to him, no one else. But I know in it, the Lord told me, the days of the little prayer and pat them on the head and tell them to come to church are over. There are people out there. They're hurting. They're at the end of their rope. They are going down for the last time. And they don't need religion. It won't cut it anymore. They need an encounter with Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is all we need. And we have to be that connection for them. We can bring him into the situation because they don't know how yet. And we've got to quit playing games. I am done playing games. I know that I have to get what I need done by faith. And real quick, I just want to show you. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and actually it goes on a little bit longer, but this is where Jesus was called out into the wilderness for 40 days. And the Holy Spirit told me, here's your example. You want to know how to get your promises, how to operate in the kingdom. This is how. Here's your example, and it's Jesus. So every time in this encounter, when he was called out to the desert for 40 days, when the enemy would come and try to test him, he didn't fight him. All he did was quote the scripture that proved him wrong. He never defended himself. He never argued with him. He just quoted the word. Tomorrow, whenever the next time comes, you need to find the promise in the Word of God that you're standing for. If it's healing, find you a healing scripture. By his stripes we're healed, there's many. If it's an unsaved loved one that you're standing for, do you know that the word says that he'll save you and your house? If it's whatever it is, there's a promise there for you. If it's a relationship, he's got marriages. He's got your kids. Whatever it is, it's there, and you stand. And when the circumstances get thrown up in your face and you feel like all hope is lost, you remember who started the good work in you. He'll finish it. and you just do just like Jesus did in this example, and you stand on that scripture and you speak it back to him, and it doesn't matter how it looks. It's up to him to finish it. Remember that verse from earlier. I don't understand how it operates or why it works. I just know that the Lord has given us examples and showed us how. You stand on that word and you speak it right back to him what you're standing on, and you won't find anything that will be more effective for you than speaking the word back to the enemy. It'll stop him. And then, having done all to stand, stand. Wait patiently for him. He's your God. He's faithful. He's brought you this far. He'll finish the rest of the work. He's good. And he loves you. Be blessed. Maybe you're listening for the first time and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. But listening to this, something is tugged upon your heart and you think, I need help. I need hope. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right now, you're going to make a confession as you repeat after me. And the Bible says, with confession, we're saved. Mean it with all you have in you and say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And God, I need that hope. And I need your forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my life and do a work in me. Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory. And go tell someone you've given your life to him. I know as I was praying about this, I felt I needed to call up Reese and Katrina. The Lord wanted me to pray for you guys.